Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Women experiencing menopause symptoms could access free hormone replacement therapy under new plans being advanced by government. The prescription drugs, known as HRT, are used to relieve a range of symptoms such as hot flushes and night sweats. Currently, some treatments are available under the medical card, but if rolled out, this could benefit women who have been paying from 30 to 70 euros a month for the medication. I'm joined now by Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, GP and clinical lead in the Complex Menopause Clinic in the Rotunda Hospital. Dr. Hartley, good morning to you. How big a barrier has cost been, do you think, to some women getting HRT?
Good morning, Philip. Yeah, I think this is great news. I think it's fantastic to remove any barriers for any intervention or medication for women in particular, because I think women's health has always been underfunded traditionally.
And when somebody is... you dropped out. I thought that you had actually finished your sentence. Keep going there, please.
I think a lot of women do feel that that cost is a barrier. Now, we have a cost of living crisis. I think, you know, everybody is struggling, you know, to make ends meet and find money for things that are important, our healthcare, our well-being. It's so important to invest in all of that. And I think removing that barrier to any intervention, including medication, is really important and is really welcome.
And in how many cases, when women are prescribed HRT, do they end up taking it for the rest of their lives? And how often can it be just for a couple of months?
So that's a really good question. And it's a question that lots of patients ask me when they come in, because I think it's very difficult, I suppose, to paint a broad picture and generalize and say, well, look, you know, everyone's going to take this for 5 years or everyone should be on this forever, because that's not the case. One of the challenges and one of the things that makes my job really interesting is that HRT prescribing, menopause care, and women's care, women's healthcare in general, is so individualized. So I'd say the majority of women probably take HRT for something between 2 and 5 years. There's a small percentage who do benefit from taking it for the rest of their life, and that benefit will always outweigh the risk that they get from their hormone therapy for them as an individual. And then there's other women who don't need HRT at all. So that's where I suppose having a good consultation, having a good healthcare provider really comes in, teasing through what that individual's risk versus benefit might be and going from there. But there is a small percentage, maybe 10 or 15% of women who will end up taking HRT for the rest of their life.
I should perhaps have been a little bit more descriptive than saying that the symptoms that this is going to treat are hot flushes and night sweats, because we are talking about relieving people of a great deal of discomfort, if not indeed pain, and the end of an awful lot of silent suffering.
Yeah, very true. And I think, you know, lots of women come to this point in their life, whenever that might be, at whatever age, their ovaries stop producing these hormones that we know are very important, and they have no symptoms and they feel fine. Their periods might stop. They don't get hot flushes. You know, there's a good 20% of women who don't have symptoms that are going to affect them in any way. Now, it's still important that we talk to those women about their long-term health, like bone health and heart health. There's maybe 20% who've got very severe symptoms and then everything else in between too.
There's a little bit of ambiguity in what is being reported here as to whether this is going to be rolled out to people who are experiencing symptoms or to people in a certain age cohort. Is, from your point of view as a practitioner, the right way to do this just to make it available to everybody who has ovaries?
I think the way to do it, like any medication, is to trust the healthcare professional who's prescribing it. So I think, and trust the woman who's making the decision to take it or not take it. So I think, you know, we have 1% of women under the age of 40, 5% under the age of 45 of women, their ovaries will stop functioning earlier than what we would consider average or normal. And these women, it's really important that women with premature ovarian insufficiency have access to HRT for their health, so, not just their quality of life, but health as well.
So if there was a limit under this scheme of between the ages of 45 and 65, those women would be excluded, or many of them could potentially be excluded, could they?
Absolutely. And it is so vital for these women in particular to get protection from HRT for their long-term bone health, for their heart health. I think putting any sort of age kind of recommendation or barrier on this would be the wrong way to go, because I think a lot of prescribing, including hormone therapy, really comes down to how symptomatic someone is. That's not for me to decide. That's a discussion that we have with the patient. Some women might be very symptomatic, but it doesn't bother them and they don't want to take HRT, and that's fine. But I've other women, and they're often younger women, they're perimenopausal, so they still have some function in their ovaries. They might be still having periods, but they're symptomatic. And we know that they might benefit from at least a trial of hormone therapy to see if they want to stay on it, to see if they get benefit. So it would be nice to have that discussion without having to factor in, I suppose, the barrier of cost.
There was a sort of a back of an envelope calculation as to this costing somewhere in the region of 10 million euro a year. Do you think that there would be, and sorry, this is the awful accountancy question, excuse me being so reductive about it, but do you think that there might be a significantly larger number of people who could benefit from availing of HRT than those numbers might suggest if it was to become free?
I mean, I think that's a really difficult thing to pin down. And I think it's a really funny mental image of Stephen Donnelly sitting down with the back of an envelope and a pencil trying to figure it out.
But I'm sure it was his officials and not him.
I'm sure, yeah, no doubt. But I think, look, you know, there is, HRT is available on the medical card at the moment, and we do have some coverage for it. So I don't think there's going to be this kind of, you know, the dam coming down and this onslaught of women left, right and centre going on hormone therapy. We have to trust women to make a sensible decision and the people that are prescribing for them, and a judicious use of prescribing. So you're prescribing it based on something, based on risk and cost and all of that type of thing. But so no is the short answer. I think we'll maybe see a small increase, which we should, because we'll see a removal of that barrier and an increased accessibility of medication for these women who really need it. But I don't think, off the top of my head, that's going to amount to an enormous number of women in the population.
No. Okay, but Caoimhe, give me an idea of the range of symptoms which this might help with, beyond, as I say, the hot flushes and the night sweats.
Yeah, again, that's quite individual, because we know that hormone therapy is probably most effective, is really reliably effective for treating what we call vasomotor symptoms, which is kind of a catch-all term for the development of hot flushes and night sweats in particular. And that's the symptom, I suppose, most people associate most with menopause. But in addition to that, you know, lots of women report having joint aches and pains. They'll often have poor sleep. Their sleep can be really interrupted. Their mood can be affected. We see things like anxiety, low mood, irritability, cognitive changes. So a lot of women term this brain fog, where they'll get a change in their verbal fluency, being able to find the right word at the right time, and short-term memory. And then we've other what we call genitourinary symptoms. So sexual function, a loss of libido, vaginal dryness, bladder symptoms. These are all symptoms that may be improved with HRT, but really important, I think, to point out that hormone therapy, although it's really effective, really safe and really helpful even for long-term health, isn't the only intervention that we have. And again, that's where a really good consultation comes in, because you talk to the individual in front of you about lifestyle changes, non-hormonal options too, and all the other interventions that we have to be helpful too. So it's a very broad picture, but HRT is certainly effective in lots of different ways for lots of women.
This is probably a chicken or egg question, but which comes first, the brain fog or the lack of sleep?
They're definitely connected. And obviously, I think we all know, anyone out there who's suffered with insomnia or poor sleep knows that they don't feel as sharp the next day. I certainly don't. If I've had a bad night's sleep, it's really hard. You feel a bit more sluggish and it's hard to find the right words and all that kind of thing. So they're definitely related. But there's biology behind this. And we know that if you remove someone's ovaries in her 30s, for example, for medical reasons, we know, and they've shown through different research in the States, that you can actually see changes on brain imaging for women who've had their ovaries removed. So it's not an aging process that's happening in our brain. It's definitely related to the loss of hormones. What's frustrating is HRT isn't absolutely reliable. Like, some women will find that their brain fog improves and some don't. But that's a discussion, again, with your healthcare provider.
There's a text on 51551, which gives rise to an interesting question. A new drug called Veozah covers hot flushes without affecting hormones. I can't do HRT because of breast cancer, not covered by the drug scheme, so I pay 100 euro a month. If a scheme is to be truly useful to all women, does it have to cover all HRT treatments? Or will there be likely to be a set or a prescribed number of medications that can be given?
So Veozah, which is fezolinetant, it's a medication that, as this person who's written it into you rightly points out, does not contain anything hormonal in it. It's a non-hormonal medication. Very, very effective for the treatment of hot flushes and for night sweats, and really useful for women who can't or choose not to take HRT. But in answer to your question, I think that really needs to be further explored and clarified for the prescribers as to, you know, if they're saying HRT is going to be made free for all, what does that actually mean? Because hormone therapy is a catch-all term, and there's lots of different brands, there's lots of different routes, there's lots of different combinations of HRT. So I think that needs to be clarified as to what exactly this will cover, so that we know what we can and can't prescribe.
But what this might actually alleviate is something that is dealt with in the very next text that has come into us. Somebody writes, I wish that my symptoms were just hot flushes. Mine are hot flushes, brain fog, joint pain, severe anxiety, massively unpredictable mood swings, pain, discomfort, dry eye, and weight gain. If men had even half of these symptoms, these meds would be free. I'm 44, in perimenopause, and pay nearly €65 each month. HRT has saved my sanity, but it galls me that I have to pay for it every month. And this, I suppose, if it does come to pass, and I have a statement from the Department of Health, which we'll turn to now and see the likelihood of that, this would, one hopes, change the calculation for that woman.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, I think, you know, like I said, it's really important to point out that HRT isn't the answer for every single woman out there. And there, you know, there needs to be a discussion about other options and other contributing factors. Not everything is down to hormones, but for some women, it truly is. And they get to perimenopause and they're completely blindsided by it. And they've tried all the other interventions. Loads of women come in and tell me, look, I've made, you know, I'm exercising more, I've improved my diet, they've done all of these things. They're exhausted. And sometimes HRT is the only thing that really gives them back their life. And I think, you know, having access to that without cost being a huge barrier is really important, but it's important for society as a whole too, not just for the individual, because women make up a huge part of the workforce. We're fantastic. We contribute so much. You want to be able to be at your best. And we're often hitting our groove in our 40s when these symptoms can also hit us like a truck. So,
absolutely. And not debilitated by something for which there is such an obvious course of treatment. As to the likelihood that this does all come to pass, a spokesperson for the Minister for Health has confirmed to us that the Minister plans to introduce a free HRT scheme and the details are being finalised by his officials. I presume that this is what you're hearing. This is not a political kite, is it, Caoimhe? This is something that is going to happen.
No, and I don't know, I'd have a lot of praise, I think, for what they've done. I think between the free contraceptive scheme, which has been hugely successful and really, really appreciated, and my clinic in the Rotunda Hospital exists in a large part because of a government initiative to kind of increase awareness and increase accessibility for women to really good quality evidence-based care at this point in their life. And I think this is just an extension of that. So I'd have to commend them.
Okay. Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, GP with specialist interest in women's health, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Coming up, how the Valencia deep sea cable transformed the way that we communicate.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.